I'm James Sandy, and this is the New Curiosities Box. In this programme, we rummage through the arts and culture of Birmingham and beyond, seeking out the intriguing, the unknown, and the eclectic. In the box this time round, we enter the world of the classical guitar, as you might never have heard it before, with Derek Gripper as he tours his exploration of Mahlian music. We delve into and over some recent album offerings and ponder the power of the critical review. We start with an exclusive tutorial in an orchestral guitar through an inspiring conversation with Paolo Angeli.
So I'm really pleased to be here with Paolo Angeli.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
I'm trying to get that right. And for the folks that don't know Paolo, he has an amazing secret, but he doesn't keep it secret. He has what I think is called a prepared Sardinian guitar. Is that right?
Yeah, it's right.
That's his technical name.
It's Sardinia guitar. Is larger than normal. You can see it's bigger than folk guitar. It's bigger than a jumbo guitar. And it's tuned a fifth lower. This means it's kind of baritone instrument.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of 900, it's been used in a competition in Sardinia between singers that can improvise melody, and the guitar player played in kind of flamenco style with rasqueado. And normally, I'd be very lucky as I met the older guitarist in Sardinia, Giovanni Scanu, when he was 86, and I spent 9 years learning all the secrets about traditional music.
Wow. So he was kind of your mentor, would you say,
yeah,
in some ways?
Yeah, my mentor. Yeah, it'd been my mentor, Giovanni Scanu. But at the same time, I met Fred Fried, the great improviser and that used prepared guitar. So what happened? That I started to prepare my Sardinian guitar. It's about this that I call prepared Sardinian guitar, as still for me is a kind of traditional instrument. But as you can see, it's a pity that there is not a camera to show how work the instrument. But there is, on top of the guitar, hammers like piano, and you can play by foot melody.
So you've kind of got a robot, haven't you?
Yeah, but it's very easy.
But you're controlling it.
Yeah, you control by bicycle cables. So it's very old-fashioned instrument.
I was going to ask you about that, because I thought I recognised that.
It's very simple. It's a mechanical cable that's connected to the hammer like piano and pick the strings. So each string have a different hammer. So what happened that you could use, for example, also the other foot playing ostinato with the and you can play on top the solo. But at the same time, what happened? That I love so much to play cello.
Mm.
And so the other thing that I changed is to put, I don't know in English the name of this part, but it's
like a stand, isn't
yeah,
it,
it's I guess. Kind of stand.
I think it has got a
support
proper name,
for the
yeah.
cello.
Yeah.
And so I could play also with a bow. And then the instrument become more interesting as you can play the same part with the foot, but the melody with the bow. As you can see, it's like there are different instruments. It's a kind of conversation between different instruments.
Yeah, I've heard it described as a kind of complete orchestra.
In a way, it's a small combo.
In a way,
when I play, it's like, okay, now it's playing the cello. Okay, now it's arriving the guitar. And there is orchestration also with the effects, so distortion. I have all the background of rock and roll guitar players, so I have distortion, delay, octave, and
anything you need. So,
yeah.
So you mentioned obviously it's based on a sort of traditional Sardinian guitar. And is it Is it something that's unique? Are there other versions of these guitars?
Do you mean the original Sardinia guitar?
So the guitar you have now, is it a one-off? Are there other versions? Have you got other ones hiding?
This one, you know, then there is this extra strings, for example, doesn't exist in the normal guitar. No. And I use it with propellers just to do drums.
So just to describe that, you've got kind of cross strings kind of going across the soundbox, which are played by little propellers.
Yeah, changing the speed, you can modulize the sound.
Which give a fantastic sound, don't they?
And then another propeller here. And here for the bass drum.
Mm. And is it always evolving as an instrument?
Yeah,
always
totally.
Things you're adding
no,
to it.
No, it's something that I change continually. For example,
okay,
this part
yeah.
I changed 1 year ago is like kalimba.
Uh-huh.
You just, this is the regular sound. When you up do this. And for example, this one is a kind of small part that touching is in the middle between sitar and fretless bass.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of box of sounds and different suggestions.
So when you were growing up?
I grew up with a guitar.
You grew up with a guitar?
I still now feel myself like I'm a guitarist.
Yeah.
I'm proud to be in the family of guitarists. And I'll explain why. Basically, when you think about guitar, the imagination is so open. Because you can have in the same family Django Reinhardt and Jimi Hendrix and Segovia, Paco de Lucia. And so this means that people say it's the same instrument. How is it possible that you can do so different music with
yeah.
this instrument? And so I feel I'm a guitarist that love to play other instruments and then try to introduce some details from other instruments to develop a more extended world about
yeah.
the guitar.
So can you remember, as a young boy, can you remember the point at which you thought, oh, I'll adapt it, I'll add things to my guitar, I'll make the sounds...
I remember very well that
okay,
moment.
Okay,
yeah, I explain why, because sometimes in the life, the most incredible stuff happens for casuality. In my village, that is Palau, in front of Corsica, there was not any kind of education, you know,
mm.
and I found a small book about how to play electric guitar. And it was so strange, this book at the hand say how to change the sound of the guitar and suggest to use the tape, you know, to put in under the strings so you could reproduce a sound similar to banjo.
Okay.
Or they say, you can put other kind of material that the sound go in direction of sitar. So I was very young. It was first time that I was reading a book about theory about electric guitar. And so the start point to modify and try to find some different sound, it was with this strange book.
So that book is to blame, really, I guess?
Yeah,
that
something
kind of
like
something
very cheap that I found. I don't remember the title already. I have to check out,
to
tell me if
out.
I found it. Because probably it was really the first moment. I was 12, probably.
perhaps, you know, with all the different aspects of the instrument, do you think that kind of allows you to sort of channel your feelings, your emotions more effectively, or sort of more in tune with it, in the sense that as you go, you're going with the feeling? Is that a stronger sense?
You know, it depends a lot about the contest. Where do you play?
Mm.
For example, in club.
Yeah.
In club, I improvise a lot. I think I improvise 60-70% of the concert is improvised.
Mm.
As there is a great feeling with the people, a small place, there are not a lot of people, you can see in the face the people, mm. and you can feel the emotion of the people, if they like it, if they don't like what you do. Sometimes arrives bad energy from the people, because sometimes people doesn't like what you do, and you recognize this energy.
Mm.
In theater it's totally different, because the organizer comes and say, hey, you have 45 minutes, or say, you have 1 hour. And so you have to think, okay, I want to give to the audience the sensation about what I play in 1 hour. So sometimes I have to choose a bit what I'm going to play. But normally, when I start touring, I have about 4-5 hours of write music, and then I know that I improvise. So this means that if I want, I could do 10 concerts each night different. And when I start to play, I never decide the sequence.
Literally in the moment.
Yeah, this what happened, that it's kind of like you have a big database in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you try to play, and you feel, oh, wow, now is the moment that I could play this composition. Then you try to play this composition, but sometimes the sound that arrives from the PA doesn't respond about what you imagined. And so you say, wow, I could do softer, and I could cut in the middle of the composition and do a kind of insert of another idea. So it's really material that each night is developing different direction.
Now, you said at the outset, you said you're a guitarist kind of first and foremost, but there's a bit more to it than that, because you've actually done a lot of research and a lot of study in music, haven't you? And I think you've got a degree in ethnomusicology. Is that right? I can barely say that, but I think that's what you got. And you got it from Barcelona, or you were in Barcelona for a time?
I live in Barcelona since 10 years ago. I agree with you, like, in a way, probably at the bad part of the guitarist, like, normally guitarist doesn't think so much. they play fast. I recognize that when I play with a bow, I'm very lyric. I just play some notes, not so much, and I really listen to the melody finally. But when you play like a guitarist, like blah, 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 no? And people wait something like this from a guitarist.
Yeah. Now, you're also, I think, a bit of a workaholic, because I've read that you do over like 50 or 60 concerts a year or something. Is that right?
50, 60, yeah, around
this. So that's some going, isn't it? That's quite a lot.
I think
that's quite a lot.
No, because I never tried to, you know, the pilot when they put the automatic process to doesn't control the plane.
Yeah.
Well, every time they tie the feeling that is going that direction, I'm very afraid and I stop. For example, this is something unusual for me, that I stay 2 weeks touring. Normally, I prefer a shorter tour, so I could play like 5-10 concerts, but then stop.
Mm.
And so I have the feeling to come back and to take the risk to do something different.
Yeah.
And so if you have a good distribution in the air, each month playing some concerts, at the end is like five concerts each month is a good to have every time the same feeling, the same passion, and to develop new ideas and surprise yourself.
I guess it's like being an athlete in some ways, isn't it? You've got to train and practice and run, I guess.
Yeah, for example, I really love to spend time alone at home practice.
Mm.
I spend 2-3 hours each day when I have really when I'm lucky that I can do it. Sometimes it's not possible because life crosses your
life
process.
Gets in the way, yeah.
But for example, right now, it's strange, I didn't discover before, but I'm listening a lot of Radiohead music, and I try at home to play some Radiohead music, and I never think that I could do this. You know, I probably in this tour I could play something about their music, or not.
Mm.
Or probably I could just evocate the feeling that I have when I listen to his music.
Mm. So tonight is the first night of the tour that you and Derek are on. And are you doing things together, or are you doing separate
things?
I think,
we met each other just today. We don't know each other.
Oh, okay.
So I think tonight will be the first option. We'll be listening to each other. I'm quite sure that at the end of the tour, it's natural that we will go to cross our experience. It's normal.
Excellent.
You know, music... it's something that born to be shared with people. You know, solo is the dimension of concert, but music, all popular music, have a lot of great moments sharing with experience with musicians, and especially when musicians arrive from different histories. This is very important, and so great.
Excellent. Well, it's been fantastic to talk to you.
Oh,
and I'm going to let you get back to the fine tuning of your fantastic instrument.
Yeah. Well,
and
thank you so much.
It's been really lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is the New Curiosities Box, a look at arts and culture across Birmingham and beyond, with me, James Sandy. Currently touring with Paolo Angeli as a duo of maestros is South African guitarist Derek Gripper, who I caught up with in the showbiz bunkers of Birmingham's Mac.
So I'm hiding out in a very lavish dressing room with Derek Gripper.
And an iron.
And an iron.
Yeah.
And a kettle as well.
And a kettle.
But we haven't used any of those.
We're going to.
And that, work that into your repertoire, perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe. But Derek, first and foremost, are you a classical guitarist? Is that how you would put yourself? There's a lot more to it than that, but is that the bracket?
I think that's a very tricky term. I mean, considering we live in the age of post-fact, you know, how to say that you're a classical musician, I don't think anyone is anything anymore. I mean, you know, even we have, you know, I play the music from West Africa, you know, so we have these griots and we hear their music and we assume that if you look at Ali Farka Touré, you know, great guitarist, there's this constant conversation about did Ali learn from Mississippi blues, or did Mississippi blues learn through history from the music that Ali knew, you know? And it's, you know, the borders are so, you know, we're listening to music in a way from the last 100 years that we've never been able to do before. So anyone who says they're a classical musician, I mean, come on, please.
So a lot of things that you do on a classical guitar,
yeah,
are things that originally were kind of designed or written for the cora.
Yeah.
And the cora is a kind of 12-string harp, although it's a guitar. It looks like a guitar, I guess.
It's actually got even more strings than that. It's a 21-string harp. It's actually a harp lute, so it fits in between the lute and the harp family. It's a harp because the strings are free, you know, there's no pressing down on the left hand, and it's a lute because it has a bridge over a kind of skin resonator, and it's made from a gourd, large gourd.
How did you come to the cora, and how did you come to the sort of Malian music tradition and think, actually, I could play this on a guitar?
Well, I didn't. I heard it and I thought, actually, I couldn't play this on the guitar, and I thought that's really depressing, really. So I heard, I was leaving for a long trip. This was in about 2002, 2003. I was leaving on a long trip. I was going to go to Europe for a while and, you know, seek my fortune and music and that. And a friend of mine gave me a burnt copy of an album called Kaira, K-A-I-R-A, by a guy called Tumani Diabate, who I knew nothing about. And I was totally blown away by these three guys that he was playing with, you know, and the ensemble playing and everything. And then after a little bit of research, I found out that it was actually just one person playing. And so then you kind of have a whole new, like, what on earth is this, you know? And it's string music, like the guitar plucked string. It's, in fact, the modern cora since about the 1950s uses nylon fishing line as the string, the same as classical guitar has since the Second World War. So for the first time I was hearing a music that was like the guitar, but that I actually enjoyed, because I'd been kind of had this love-hate relationship where I liked playing the guitar, but I didn't like the music.
Okay.
You know, I didn't like the... I had no connection to the romantic nationalist Spanish repertoire of Segovia. I intellectually enjoyed, you know, the works of later composers, you know, the amazing repertoire that was commissioned by, you know, guitarists like Julian Bream, you know, Takamitsu and Benjamin Britten. But intellectually interesting, but it wasn't what I was listening to. And then I heard this music. So I listened to the album for 10 years, thinking that I'd probably have to give up guitar and learn the cora, maybe go to Mali, because, you know, here's this guy speaking in tongues, you know, he's just going completely crazy, you know, and he's improvising in this unbelievable language that I have no access to. And then in around about 2011, I discovered that actually Tumani is a composer. And that the concept of a composer today is very different to how it probably was in Bach's time. So this change made me realize that I could use my own skills to be able to learn how to play this music. So that's when I started this kind of journey of interpreting Tumani's music because he is a great African composer. And the only difference is that his music is not written down. But I would argue in Bach's day, writing music down was probably a little bit more like recording is today than what writing music down is today. Because writing music down today is how we first conceive of it and how it is taught and in classical music. Whereas in Bach's time, I think it was more of an oral tradition, still, like in Mali. So there's this similarity there. But, you know, in Mali, you learn it orally, and then you go to the recording studio and you put it down. Bach's the same. The music is there, whether it's in the ears or the hands, and you can write it down in order to disseminate it and share it.
So you mentioned there's something interesting where the kind of multi-layered aspect of an instrument, you know, in terms of the idea of perhaps an instrument sounding like three different things. Mm. And I think it's true that Toumani himself, when he first heard you playing guitar or some of the choral pieces on guitar, thought similar. He thought,
I know, well, funny,
that,
yeah.
He thought that could be, that must be several people.
I know, isn't it hilarious?
And kind of disbelieved the fact that it was you.
I know, I said got my back.
So you
like, well, yeah, you see. We all suffered for years listening to your music.
Yeah, you're going about that. So, and also the other, I'm interested in that sort of mix of traditions, because you're South African originally, but I think some of your training was in India and in Indian music.
Well, I was obviously, as you said, I was trained as a classical musician and learned, you know, at university and all that. But I really wanted to find something in music that I wasn't seeing in classical music. I don't exactly know what that was. So I went to India, studied for a while, maybe a year altogether in India, in the South Indian Carnatic music, but not, I didn't do practically, I did it theoretically. I learned, you know, the vocal, rhythmical language that they have, and wanting to apply that to creating something new. And so I've been doing that in different ways throughout. Also in the region of the West, of where I live, the Western Cape of South Africa, you know, playing music with people there as well.
And you're playing tonight with Paolo. Mm. I think there's a really interesting parallel between the two of you. Now, this is probably intentional, and that probably just taking me a while to pick up on it. But so Paolo's instrument is kind of multifaceted and multi-technical, and builds in a number of different traditions.
Mm.
Whereas you're very kind of stripped back in the sense that you have an instrument, a guitar, but you play a multitude of instruments through one instrument.
Exactly. So yeah, I think we're both nutcases.
Yeah,
and,
I think that
and
helps,
we express it in different ways. So I have only one guitar, and it's very simple, and it's a standard guitar. It's the same guitar Segovia played. It's made by his maker Herman Hauser. So it's a very traditional instrument, but the repertoire that I'm playing is not, and it's very wide ranging, from bow music from South Africa to the Kora and Ngoni music from West Africa to Bach.
Hmm.
To the 10-string guitar music of Egberto Gismonti in Brazil. So there's a... So yeah, and whereas Paolo's got the bow and these strings that go up above the fretboard, and there's whirring electronic things that touch the strings and the pedals, and it's amazing.
So I want to ask you about your recent album, Libraries on Fire. Is that what it's called, I think? Hmm. Which is an interesting title. It sounds like a warning, doesn't it? You know, it sounds like a cry for help in some ways. Libraries on Fire. You know,
well, it comes from a saying from the area of West Africa, which is every time an old man dies, it's like a great library burning. So the Libraries on Fire title refers to this idea of an oral tradition being something that's ephemeral, that comes and goes with the person. And the act of recording keeps something, you know, like the act of writing down Bach's music kept something, but we don't know what. You know, we don't really know what it kept and what it missed. You know, just like, you know, this the photo that you take, it so-and-so, you know, it keeps something, and probably it replaces the original memory. So the oral tradition is a very nuanced and difficult thing for us in the kind of age of reproduction, the age of digital reproduction, to really even understand what kind of consciousness would have created that.
And some of the pieces on that album are, or most of them, I think, are duets, aren't they, initially? Are they kind of duet pieces?
Well, I ran out of solo pieces because the first album that I made of the choral music was called One Night on Earth, and that was Toumani's solo repertoire, many of the principal pieces that he plays. So when I went now to record a kind of follow-up album for that, I'd run out, you know, of... I mean, there's a lot of solo stuff of his still, but not that many. He's only made two solo albums. So I looked at... there's an album called New Ancient Strings where he plays in duet with Baleke Sisoko. And he just recorded the year before an album with his son, Sidiki Diabate, called Toumani and Sidiki. So those two, I took some pieces from them, but then I also took pieces from other choral players because I wanted to make the point that... Yes, Toumani's a great African composer, but he's not the only one. And to think, we think generically about any other culture, oh, the sitar, you know. Mm. I don't know if I like the sitar. But you listen to different traditions of sitar playing, it's you listen to a different thing. And I learned this when I was 19. I went to India to study Carnatic violin. I took my violin and I went to 6 violin concerts, and I realized there were 6 different, completely different musics, and I had to choose, you know. It wasn't like you could just go find a violin teacher. Mm. You know, we forget that.
So tonight is the first night of the tour that you and Paolo are endeavouring out on a great adventure.
Yeah.
And what else are you up to when you've done the tour? What other things have you got on your horizon, sort of projects that you've got lined up?
I'm going to go home, and then I've got two US tours this year. So I'm going in, I think, June. I've got various things. It's a solo tour. And in September, I'm doing a tour with in the US with a North Indian slide guitarist called Debashish Bhattacharya. Also plays here quite a bit. Debashish is probably one of the greatest slide players alive at the moment. He's an unbelievable musician. So we started our collaboration 2 years ago in Norway, and then we took it up again now in Kolkata in December, and we'll play a whole tour together, I think 10 dates or something. So we really, the idea is to really develop this kind of new language that we can speak together, you know, finding the meeting points. My very vague memories of Indian classical music from, you know, 15 years ago. And yeah, so that's one of the projects. I'm also recording a Bach album when I get home. I've been trying to understand Bach from a point of view that, you know, predates Wagner, let's say, you know, predates the idea of classical music, and in this, and probably from things I've learned from playing people who exist in an oral tradition like Tumani. So I'm going to try and put that down in a record, a kind of different take on Bach, you know, Africa writes back kind of technique.
That all sounds like you're going to be very busy, I think, to me.
Yeah, it's pretty chilled, and it doesn't take too much time.
Well, Derek, it's been great to talk to you.
Yeah,
and let me just say thanks very much for your time. And I'll leave you now in peace to make use of the kettle and the iron in your deluxe.
There's no tea or cups.
It's time to close the box. My thanks to the artists themselves for their interviews, to Mac Birmingham, Kappa Productions, and all at Making Tracks Music. Theme music by Morgan TJ. The new Curiosities Box is a King of the Buttons production for Switch Radio.